So even in pre-COVID times, the advent of remote working, the topic of meetings generally has been quite polarizing. Some people love meetings, really look forward to them as a way to have time together to work together to resolve issues or be creative or solve problems. Other people, and probably the more vocal, meetings are a waste of time. There's heaps of posts and strategies for never having to go to a meeting again. And I think that that passionate critique that meetings as a topic inspires is really interesting because let's face it, we've all experienced our share of really, really bad meetings. But Brent, I'm curious, how do you think a lead together mindset impacts how we organize and utilize our precious time together? And precious time together can also be known as meetings.
So much of what we talk about in Lead Together is being conscious and intentional about how we show up and the choices we make throughout the day. And choosing to meet, choosing not to meet, choosing to stay in a meeting, choosing to leave a meeting, choosing how we show up in a meeting, whether we sit back, we lean in, we engage. Those are all choices that we make. And I think so often around meetings, we can either go into a little bit of autopilot of just, oh, it's the next meeting and just kind of roll on. Or we can maybe give up our sense of ownership of a meeting because we're not the one that called the meeting. And so when we really are being conscious and intentional about every meeting, it calls us each to take responsibility for our own time to say, is this the right place for me to be? How do I want to contribute here? How can I contribute the most? And so are meetings going away? I don't think they are. But how we use our meetings and how we take ownership of our own role in every meeting can really make a difference. And so maybe to just build on that, then Travis, I have a question for you around, now that we have gone through a pretty dramatic change globally, we're all spending so much time online in meetings. It's not unusual, I think, for the three of us to spend 8 hours a day in meeting after meeting after meeting. Then, what are some of the things that you've seen that are making the day manageable, and maybe a little less stressful and more effective?
Yeah, I mean, Susan was just telling us right before this that this is her sixth straight hour of meetings, and right, that's not uncommon, and it's not uncommon for them all to be on Zoom, right? For people to be sneaking off trying to get bathroom breaks or absconding and turning off their video just for a minute just to chew on a quick bite to eat, and so. Like we talk about so often, taking the implicit and making it explicit can have so much value. So some of the things that I've seen people are doing is making norms around both when video is on for meetings and when it's off, right? So like, oh, hey, me, if we're going to have a working meeting and it's going to be collaborative, great, let's have the meeting on. If we're going to be working in a doc and it's okay if we need to be in there, maybe that can be a time where like, hey, anybody that wants to turn off their camera, grab a bite to eat while they're typing, not a problem. All right. Or maybe we even make explicit meetings where we have, you know what, this one's a great one for people to dial in. So if you want to get out, walk around, and get a little bit of movement in, that can be a wonderful way to just keep things fresh or interesting or different. And one of the ways that I think it's really useful to categorize and tell which one it is was Percolab's examples on like different types of meetings. And Susan, you were the one that taught me about the four different types of meetings and how Percolab categorizes them. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I really love Percolab's approach to this because it makes every meeting like a deliberately developmental opportunity. And I'll talk a little bit about that after I name the category. So they reckon that what happens in meetings could be can be consolidated into four major themes. So the first one is just an information share. So somebody has information that just makes sense to share collectively out to everybody at once. The second category is maybe something that needs a little bit of tweaking, a little bit of collective sense making. Somebody is stuck on something small that just needs some input and some of the collective intelligence of the group together. The third is actually working on something together. So coming into a meeting, especially a virtual meeting, spinning up a Google Doc, doing a little bit of jamming together, working on a deck together, working on an invitation together or something like this. And then the fourth is making a decision. So that is sometimes a different type of meeting, but if it is time allocated in the WISE agenda and you have your decision-making process or practice, whether it's a generative decision-making process or just a traditional consent-based decision-making opportunity, having that indicated in the WISE agenda is really useful. And the reason that I think that it's deliberately developmental is it calls on us as the individuals that have something in one of those four categories to bring to the collective, to really take responsibility for it. To oftentimes the WISE agenda template will be persistent in a Google Drive, and everybody has the opportunity to work on it and add things to it before the meeting happens. But the idea that you have to say, okay, this is what I want to bring, really think about it. What category does it fit into? And how much time do I need? So I think this is a really interesting thing about meetings, that more free-flowing meetings can tend, even if we try to say, okay, like we'll spin up a quick agenda and we'll try to time box things, it never really works that way. But to like have the, use your own like agency to really ask for what you need and make sure that you stick to it. I've seen work really, really well.